I'm pleased to welcome to the studio ukulele playing, tough mudder running, chair of Inclusive Irons, and all round good fella, Apu Vyas. Hello.
Hello, Joe. How are you doing?
Good stuff. Yeah, you?
Phenomenal. Thank
all good.
You very
yeah,
much.
I know, you look very relaxed. I know, I'm loving that. So, listen, you're a local boy as well now, aren't you?
I am now, yep. I've sort of lived East London-ish most of my life. And then a couple of years ago, we moved over into Brentwood.
Yeah. See, every time someone says, I know they're a West Ham fan, and they say East London, in my head, you know what I'm saying? East London. So if you're a West Ham fan, you know what I mean. Anyway, listen, can you tell us a little bit about Inclusive Irons for us, for people that may not know?
Yeah, we're a fan group, officially recognised by the club in the sense that we're part of the ISC as well. Mm. We look at things to do with inclusion and diversity. So we check in with the club from time to time, and they've got their own director of diversity, for instance. So they've just won the Premier League award for the highest level of good stuff that they can do.
Yeah,
so
inclusivity,
so they've
stuff.
Got a lot of they're doing a lot of good things, but it helps to have someone on the outside just sort of saying, if you consider this, if you consider that, and just trying to make, I think one of our main things is just trying to make sure that more of the local community not just support West Ham, but consider going along and visiting, and obviously long-term buying and playing, etc.
Yeah, so just to clarify as well, the ISC is the Independent Supporters Committee. So basically what that is, there's groups, fan groups from all parts of the community of West Ham that are involved in that. So it's like, you know, Pride of Irons are part of that as well. So it's about, we listen to what our members say. Just make sure, as you say, that we're pushing for that inclusivity, because we can always do better, right?
Yep. I said the club do all right. I think they do better than the many fans think, because it's one of those things, right? On social media and everything, people will look for the negatives and they'll amplify that. And I said, I think the club do okay, but they can always do better. They're not going to have their finger on the pulse of every single community and fan group, etc., out there. So it helps having associations like ours, which, like I said, just sort of give them little nudges from time to time.
And I think that's a really important thing, I think, because when you're doing stuff, because obviously it's voluntary what you're doing there, Apu, so thank you for that. You know, we need more people like you to be able to help to provide a voice for our own communities. But it's, you can be so used to looking at the negative stuff in your own little bubble, right, and not see the bigger picture about what the club is actually doing, or actually be aware of what they're doing as well, because there's loads of stuff that, you know, we was talking about that earlier, the stuff that goes on with the foundation as well, right? So yeah, so there's loads of stuff that needs to be done. As you say, we are there just to give them the little nudge to make sure that they do better as well. So do you have much contact with the club now yourself? Are you in working on different projects and things like that at the moment?
So at the moment, one of the things that we're trying to get the club to do more of is get more Asians involved in football. There's obviously a really large Asian community in and around East London and West Ham, etc. For many reasons, historically, South Asian players haven't come through. Yeah. Anwar Uddin was probably the closest that came through at West Ham.
Yeah.
And he had a good career at a lower level than West Ham, but he didn't quite make it there.
Yeah.
And that's how I got interested in everything to do with inclusion and diversity, because my boy, it's one of those things, he's my boy, other people told me he's really good, and once I started seeing it, I realised he was really good. And then there were lots of barriers seemed to keep coming up in terms of him either playing football or being selected for academies, etc. He was a goalkeeper, and I think goalkeeping's a very different position to any other position on the pitch. It's a sport within a sport, goalkeeping, once you know it. And there you can kind, it's much easier as a goalkeeper to tell if someone's a good or a bad keeper compared to an outfield player. And
there's no hiding really for a goalie, is there, to be fair?
There's no hiding. It's very, very technical. You have to be. You can't be a maverick. You can't be like an Antonio and just things happen off the cuff, etc. Anyway, long story short, he was really good, but he was being overlooked. And so then I started sort of getting a little bit more involved, looking into it, talking to people, talking to other organisations like the FA and other football clubs and the EFL, etc. Started a podcast on Asians in football, which then broadened my sort of mind and horizons to all the other kind of issues that are out there, etc. And it was on the back of that that I, at the time, I saw what was the BAME Hammers where we're publicising the programme one day, and I thought, well, I wonder what that's about. So got myself involved with them.
Yeah, we've only been going since 2020 as well. Done quite a lot in that short space of time, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, because obviously Lee Viatt was the founder, wasn't he? And he's been in the studio a few times, actually, still involved with football, as you know. Terminology, that changes a lot as well, because you think only 3 years ago you were calling it BAME Hammers, but now that's changed. And I think a lot of people are scared to ask or get involved or even speak about inclusivity because they feel, or fear, I should say, that they might offend someone by asking. So it's like, you know, how would you approach that to somebody that you think wants to know more, but they're just a little bit scared in case they feel that they say the wrong thing and offend? Because it happens with us as well, you know?
I completely get that. And it's not just around this, it's around anything and everything. It's have an open mind, sort of. It's easy to say, and it sounds like maybe a bit sort of la-di-da or whatever, but just keep an open mind on everything. Don't have fixed viewpoints. Ask questions and try and understand where someone else is coming from. You don't have to agree with them after they've explained it to you, but it doesn't stop you asking the questions. And so with language does change. Language is hugely powerful. When you're talking and you're saying certain words, then you think that's how you're thinking. It's a reflection on how you're thinking, etc. So I think it was a Gandhi quote, be careful of your words because your words turn into actions or something. I don't know. It's a really powerful quote and I've forgotten it.
It's one of those things.
But do you know what I mean? So I think some people will see that, and nowadays they will recognise, for instance, if someone's been verbally abusive to a young kid or someone that they're superior to in any way, work instance, whatever, they'll understand in that context that words do have power. And that same concept applies just to talking to people in everyday life about anything and everything. If the words you're using and choosing to use, they're going to lead you down certain thought processes, etc. And sometimes you've got to kind of consider, is that the right choice of words? Yeah. What is that saying or doing, or what place is that putting people into?
It's a really tricky one, isn't it, at times as well? Because, as I say, I keep saying people are in their own bubbles, but you know, really do believe in that, you know, that some people, you know, it's like singing along to a song, isn't it? If you're singing along to the song, you don't even know what the words mean half the time. It's just in your head that you've been singing song for 20 years and you've no idea of. So, you know, it's about giving people a second chance and not sort of judging people on the initial reactions or their initial language as well. You can always tell the people that are just basically not decent people anyway, right? So it's that kind of thing. But it's I suppose the work that you do, and the more that you're on stations like this and in more press as well, helping to highlight things like this and making a difference. So, but I tell you what, we're going to play a track and then come back, so I want to find out how to join you and what other stuff you're up to, Apu. So I know what track it is. I've already lined it up. What is it?
It's If Only I Could by Sydney Youngblood.
Yay! So we're back at the studio with Apu Vyas, chair of Inclusive Irons. So Apu, look, things have improved, right? Without question, things have improved. But I think some people are thinking it's a hard sell now, because a lot of people actually believe that there isn't a problem with inclusion anymore. But your group is there, obviously, proving otherwise, right?
Yeah, so I think the thing is, it's a lot of the negatives have kind of either gone subconscious or people aren't on the face of it. Lots of things seem much better. I mean, you'll see on Sunday at West Ham, there'll be lots of black people there, lots of Asian people there. Yeah. With things like the LGBTQT community, it's less likely to spot them, but they'll be there as well. But the thing is, there are still obstacles and barriers to everyone being able to be involved. And it's just keeping, I guess, an eye on that and just making sure that if there are any barriers, then they might not be obvious to some people. And obviously, if something doesn't affect you, then you don't realise that there's an obstacle there. Yeah. But if I can give you an example, not to do with West Ham, much as remember the Arsenal ladies, they put a photo up of their squad a week or two ago.
Arsenal women as well. Terminology we're talking about. We've got to talk about women, not the ladies.
I'm so sorry.
Because a lot of people say ladies, and back in the day when we were banned from playing football, ladies were the fairer sex, you see. So and again, you know, like terminology changing. A lot of people in people's heads, ladies are fairer sex, is where we're just playing football. Women are playing football for the badge. Okay. See what I mean? So anyway.
I get that. I was trying to be polite.
I wasn't slapping your wrists.
You learn something new every day, and I have to try and remember that.
Yeah.
So with the Arsenal women, for those that don't know, they put a photo up of this squad for this season, and every single player was white, every single coaching staff member was white as well, and they got a little bit of criticism because where Arsenal are, that community is definitely not all white. But I think what that highlights isn't so much that Arsenal have done anything wrong. It's the fact that there are obstacles and barriers to the local community being involved in football.
Absolutely.
And once you realise there is a barrier there, you can then take steps to try and improve it. And all credit to Arsenal. As soon as the criticism started, they've done a lot. They've engaged with the local community. They've engaged with all the big organisations, etc. And they're trying to make changes straight away. And I think in the next few years, they will be miles ahead of most other clubs. If you look at someone like West Ham, their playing staff that is quite mixed, but then maybe it's worth questioning, is that through coincidence or have they worked hard to get to that? Because if they haven't and it's just a fate of coincidence, then it might change, and in the future they might be end of that kind of criticism. So going back to your question, it's just about making sure whatever barriers and obstacles are there, because there are for all kinds of people getting involved in all kinds of things in society, just being aware of them, seeing what can be done differently to try and engage everyone and making diversity a reality.
Yeah, it's a level playing pitch, essentially. I think that's what we need to do. So there was loads of like haters out there that were saying, oh, you just want the best people on the pitch. You're not picking them by colour. That's not the point. The point is that has the structure been there so that local community people can come through? That's the thing. You know, we've just got to make sure that, you know, there's representation, because that matters, right?
Yeah, representation, because they're the best people are coming through, not for tokenism. No one wants tokenism.
No.
We're not asking for that, but it's just making sure there is a level playing field for everybody.
Totally. Now, let's go back to your, why you're here in the first place, your membership as well. So what sort of demographic have you got with your membership there?
We're quite wide, we're quite varied. We will take, as members, we can have anyone and everyone. So it is quite wide. We're there to kind of help. If people have got issues, they can come to us. So one of the early issues people had was wanting a prayer room at West Ham, wanting some halal food at West Ham. So we've spoken to the club. We've got that in, etc. We've had issues in the past where some Jewish members, for instance, they've heard anti-Semitism sometimes at the Tottenham game, sometimes just generally, and they've come to us and we've sort of told them, we've signposted them how to deal with the club, how to or what to do, how to go to the police, etc. So we can be spokespeople for the fans when they want it, or they can just talk to us. Or we've also had some situations where people have wanted to go to West Ham because they're a Premier League club and they want to see what it's like, etc.
Well, they're massive, aren't we, at the end of the day?
West Ham are massive, but they don't know how to, and they're a little bit, there's a bit of fear or trepidation about just turning up to what for many people is perceived to be a white working class sport, and if they're not from that demographic, what will happen if they turn up? And me and you know the answer is they'll probably have a great time.
Yeah.
And hopefully West Ham will win. But
Especially in their days.
Most of the time.
Apart from last night, but we won't discuss that. Yeah. But no, but you're absolutely right there. So I want to make sure as well, just because obviously if you sign up, there's no fee or anything like that. You've not got to sign your life away or anything like that. You've not got to sign up to like, you're going to be around for a year or 2 years or anything like that. And you don't have to be a season ticket holder for the men's or the women's to join either, do you?
No, there's no rules whatsoever. Nice. It's the best way of joining, I'd probably say, is to jump onto Facebook.
Yeah.
Just type in Inclusive Irons. Hopefully you find us and then become part of that community. There'll be a link there to the website, so technically you can become a member. It's just filling in your details. We don't do any marketing or anything like that. It's just every now and then we'll put up some social media, we'll do some events. The last sort of big event we did was last year, because last year was, which anniversary? 50th anniversary of... I think it was 50th. My memory's gone and whatever. Of when West Ham played, were the first Coca. English team to play three black players in one match, which was 6-7 years before West Brom and their 3 degrees. Mm. So that was obviously Clyde Best, Coker and Charles. Mm. And we had Addie Coker. He came
on the screen. I was there.
He was on the screen. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And that was a brilliant night as well.
It's something to be proud of, though. And it's something actually that goes down in history. A lot of people do know about it, but there's an awful lot of people that don't as well. And it's those sort of things that you as a group as well can highlight as well, that the good work that West Ham have done. As you say, it's trying to dispel the myths of, like you say, the working class white bloke, really, isn't it? So, you know.
I mean, I'm an example of that. I've been going to West Ham since the 70s. Don't remember that far back, because I was quite young, but I've been going since the 70s. And it's always been my local club. I've always been... I've very rarely had issues there. But then again, I know lots of people from that area that are black or Asian, whatever, that have had issues and therefore don't support West Ham or have that thing in their brain that it's not a safe place to go, etc. So,
So it's about feeling more comfortable as well. When there's somebody else there, if you're unsure of something, then it's just going along in a group or with some other people, and that's what you're there for as well, isn't it?
Yep.
So the whole package, essentially, as well, is a supportive group. Well, listen, Apu, thank you so much. As you know, we could talk for hours. And we've done, been ever so well. We're not talking about the match last night, to be fair. But
what
then,
match? I don't know what you're
actually,
talking about.
I forgot what you're talking about. Anyway, listen, Apu, thank you so much for coming along. And if you want to join Inclusive Irons, you can go to inclusiveirons.com as well. You've got all the links there. Apu, you come back soon, won't you?
I will do.